You are listening to Pharmacy IT and Me, your informatics pharmacist podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Pharmacy IT and Me podcast. And on today's episode, we're going to be interviewing actually my coworker, Dr. Fong Wood, on her role in pharmacy informatics and I guess how she got into this career. So thank you so much for being on the podcast, Fong. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thanks, Tony, for having me. Hopefully I can give you some insight about how I got into this, into my career path and everything that went into it.
Yeah. So it is a little weird for me because, you know, we are coworkers already. So it's a little like weird to like interview you, but there are actually a few things that I didn't really know about your career until like more recently. So it'll be fun. So just before we get started into like talking about all that stuff, can you tell listeners a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah. So I've been at Children's Hospital of Orange County this is my 20th year as a informatics pharmacist. Originally, I went to USC pharmacy school. I graduated in 1999 and I was part of the PharmD MBA program. So interestingly enough, like when I graduated, my first job was with a consulting company at the time. It was Ernst & Young, one of the big six at the time. Now it's like big three. I got hired as part of their healthcare consulting team. And then eventually Chalk became my client and in 2003. And then they eventually hired me on.
Awesome. So I guess even I don't really know this, but when did Chalk convert to, so we currently use Oracle Health, which used to be Cerner, but when did it convert to that? And were you there for that like conversion?
Yeah. So initially when I first started in healthcare consulting, I was more on the supply chain side and did a lot of like went to clients and talked with their CFOs about decreasing pharmacy budget and types of things like that. If you've ever been in the consulting world, you know that as a junior consultant, they just put you on any type of project that, you know, they think you're available. And so even though I was this pharmacist who knew pharmacy processes, I was put on a system implementation for something completely different. I think it was an SAP implementation for a food company. So when I did that, I was able to learn kind of like the processes that you put a whole system in place. You know, it's kind of like, let's learn what each department does. Let's, you know, like map out their processes and let's look at the system you're about to implement. So how can we adapt to the system and let's test and then eventually go live. So along that step, when Chalk went live with a clinical system, they were like, oh, well, here's a pharmacist. We should put her on that. So that was around, I think I came to Chalk around 2001. And that was when we first started implementing Cerner.
Wow. That's, for some reason, I thought Chalk was on Cerner even before that. But I guess.
No, it was like right around 2001.
I see. I'm trying to think what I was doing in 2001. Oh, man. Yeah. I was like, I didn't even know pharmacy was going to be my thing yet at that time. So you know, kind of stepping back a little bit in time about before you got into informatics, like when you were in pharmacy school, I know you said you did the PharmD MBA program. At that moment in time, I guess, first question is, why did you choose to do a dual degree program?
Well, initially, I was thinking, I actually didn't know what I wanted to do. I knew that I did not want to work retail. And at the time, a lot of my friends were working in New York. So they were saying, well, you should come to Wall Street, work for a pharmaceutical company. You would be perfect for that. But, you know, some of those guys that went to BCG and I had a friend working I can't remember, but they were working like 80 hours a week. And that definitely was not for me. I mean, these guys are working 80 to 120 hours a week all the time. And that was just not something that I was interested in at all in doing. So, but I got accepted into the business school and then, so just went with that. But even then I wasn't sure what I wanted to do.
So when you graduated, did you know about that field of pharmacy informatics, or did that kind of just like,
I did not at all.
Oh, okay.
Did not even know about it at all.
So you graduated, you farmed the MBA, you went to work for Ernst & Young. Was that kind of like, I guess, how did that come about, right? Like, was that some kind of MBA connection or?
Yeah, that was all through connections. Like all my friends who had gone to business school with me graduated in 97, right? So they graduated in 97, got jobs. I still had the rest of my PharmD to finish. So when I graduated in 99, they said, oh, you should definitely come work with us. So through connections, they got me in pretty easily.
Oh, I see. So that's pretty cool. So you had a pretty good like foot in the door into like a non-traditional type of a pharmacy role. So at what point, I know you mentioned Chuck was a client, but was that the point where pharmacy informatics started, or did you have something else before that?
No. So yeah, I had many, many clients, which were hospitals, which was, like I had mentioned earlier, more of kind of a supply chain type project. So looking at their purchases, you know, talking with the pharmacy managers, you know, at a particular hospital to, at that point, you know, we were still trying to cut costs. If this was like 1999 and things like, oh, switching from brand to generic was a cost cutter, you know, because no one knew that, oh gosh, like the generics will cut costs, and just little things here and there, like, you know, making sure you had a very strict formulary so that your doctors weren't ordering everything available, right? So when I first went into consulting, that was most of my clients were hospitals, and we were looking at ways to cut costs for, you know, pharmacy department. Then eventually one of my clients was a systems, it was a food distributor called Fleming company in Texas. And I think at the time they were doing a big SAP implementation. And so they put me on that project. It had nothing to do with pharmacy informatics, had nothing to do with anything, but I was a body that they wanted to put on the project. So that was my into a systems implementation. So then the next step.
Can you remind me again what SAP means?
SAP is a huge system which does like ERP, human resources type systems. And then they do, I can't remember exactly what else, but then the Fleming Foods also had like, they were also implementing some systems, transportation software also.
Oh.
And so it was like a series of different systems that they were basically putting in place.
I see. So you got your kind of exposure to implementations through that as that place as a client, right?
Yes. Yes.
I see. So then when was it that was Chalk the first healthcare client, like healthcare?
Yeah, so they were the first system healthcare hospital that was implementing a system that I was involved.
Okay, so then what kind of I guess what was your role in that initial phase of, like, you know, before Chalk went live with Cerner? Like,
initially when I came to Chalk, it was more of working with people at Chalk to map. I mean, this is from the get-go of implementing Cerner, right? So we just were trying to map out processes that were specific to Chalk. So that was most of my role. So I worked with the director at the time to, you know, you're just basically mapping out processes that they do in the pharmacy and how that, you know, interplays with nursing. So just like any system implementation, you want to find out how the place works, and then how you can adapt the system to those processes, right?
I see. So you actually did get to work a lot with directly like the pharmacy department for that stuff?
Yes, yes.
So, and I know that one of your roles today, you know, includes, you know, barcode and medication administration and also the supply chain side. You know, I'm pretty sure the supply chain side came from your experience with supply chain, but how did you start getting roped into the barcode medication administration side?
I'm not really sure, but by then I was the client. All right. At that point, I became part of Chalk. So I was an employee Chalk. But I'm not sure how I became the person that got assigned to doing all the barcoding. But sometimes, you know, you just accept projects as they come to you. And that was the role that I accepted.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess, right? Because then if no one's doing it and you get assigned to it, then, I mean, that's how I get some of my responsibilities too. Okay, so that was your implementation. So I guess like during the implementation phase, like I guess what was it? We had any memorable moments that you kind of drew experience from the past that would help you with the implementation?
No, I didn't really have any background, but we basically tried to determine what the best steps, you know, like there's so many drugs in a pharmacy and trying to just get every single NDC, you know, the national drug code, which is specific to a medication, you know, and it's down to the dosage form and the package size, but trying to determine how we would get every single one of those in the pharmacy into the system was definitely daunting. So I think initially what we did was we like just went down the aisles and just tried to scan everything. And that was initially what we did. And then I think we also like took our, we got a report from the wholesaler to see what NDCs we had purchased in the past 2 years to make sure those were in the system. So these are just types of things that we were saying, you know, what products have we bought in the past 2 years and how do we make sure that that gets into the system? So that was kind of like our strategy.
I see. Okay. So, I mean, like that's the biggest, like, you know, front loading of the information. And, you know, like obviously implementing something from scratch like that is daunting, but then you get into like that whole phase of like, okay, now that it's live, what are we doing to maintain it? And I think like, and this happened with me when I first was at my last job when we implemented like Cerner. Afterwards, there's like this whole like game, like song and dance that I had to do about like justifying my existing presence like after the system went live, right? And I guess like for you, like when the system went live, like what kind of things were you still doing to maintain it? And why would it still need someone, you know, like a pharmacist to be maintaining those things?
Oh yeah, there's so much that needs maintaining because like I said before, with in the current pharmacy, there's so many shortages and different NDCs. And every single day, people are buying, you know, the buyers are buying different medications. And so just because you have, you know, your current today, you have a set of NDCs in the system does not mean that whatever gets purchased, you know, tomorrow is going to be in the system. So you had to determine, well, how do we make sure that anything is new gets inputted into the system? And then the other thing is just because it was inputted initially in the system, there were a lot of gotchas, like for instance, the way the scanner is programmed, we realized that different ways that the scanner can be programmed will read different numbers on the NDC. So it might not necessarily match from one floor to another. So we had to determine, well, we may need to make sure that all the scanners are programmed correctly and that, you know, everything's reading the same. And then there's also like some barcodes have lots and expiration dates on them. So if you input just the NDC, then now you have a barcode which might have the lot and the expiration on it, which doesn't match the NDC that you originally entered in. So there's a lot of gotchas and determining, well, how do we fix that? Also, there's like a few things with, you know, that happens on the nursing side, like user errors, like making sure that when they're scanning, they have the right, I don't know, time frame in front of them. Because let's say a med is not given in, let's say they have a 12-hour shift. And for some reason, their shift starts at 7, and then the scanning was supposed to take place at 6:30. They need to make sure that, you know, they can see that whole window time frame. And sometimes a lot of nurses don't know how to do that. So there's just there's a lot of gotchas that nursing, you know, nursing that you have to deal with in terms of nursing processes and educating them too.
Yeah, I think like because in my previous role over at Ventura County, I did a lot of the same stuff that you do in addition to the other things I did, and I definitely did experience the thing where like different units, they were getting sometimes the barcode scanner from like, I don't know, like however they're ordering it, and they just assume that it's a plug and play without like the configuration. Mm-hmm. So we did have those issues too, where like when they scan, it was like shifting the middle part of the NDC into the wrong spots.
Yeah.
So then everything was like Medna identified. So that was that. And I think the other thing we had issues with too was the therapeutic interchange, not interchange, but more of like, you know, like
the
you can have
dosage form is not compatible with throughout. That was another one.
Yeah. Dosage form. There was the issue of like, you know, when you have multiple smaller doses, like let's say it's like a 5 milligram, but you only have a 2.5 and you scan the 2.5, uh-huh. but it doesn't let you. But then we did the interchange to like, you know, tally it up to 5.
Yeah,
that's like another configuration. What was
There's some other ones like let's suppose you have like two different strengths to make the dose, right? So you have two. So that's another configuration that you would have to deal with. And then we had the issue with the first task where where the system automatically chooses a product, you know, and then the pharmacist on verification changes that product. Well, now the task has already been dropped and your scan will never match because it's a different product that's been picked, right?
Yeah. And we actually had that in a worst case scenario over at my last place because the emergency department was actually on auto verify. So everything was auto verifying, right? And then it was auto verifying with whatever it thought it should be auto verified, which is most of the time the wrong product. So that meant every scan was failing. So yeah, that had to change. We actually had to remove auto verifying and put the verification back on the pharmacy department because we didn't have an ED pharmacist, and that is why that was done that way. So
The other thing that you want to put in place is okay. Let's say a medication, you get some kind of message that says this, you know, that tells you that the medication is not in the system. So now, what's your process in terms of making, you know, the process to make sure that medication gets in? So we were able to develop with one of our other coworkers, Aaron, where the nurse was able to scan that barcode into the system, and then it sends me an email of that barcode and what was actually ordered, so that I can check and make sure that product gets updated into the system.
You know, that's one of the most impressive things when I started that job was like seeing that in place, because for me, when I was at my last place, we didn't have that in place. The way that it would be done is every nursing unit would have a bunch of these envelopes, and on the envelope, they'd fill out the FIN, and then they'd fill out the name of the drug. They put like the empty vial or, you know, empty unit dose of the drug into the envelope, and then they'll send it to pharmacy, and then the pharmacy will send it to me. So at any given point, I had hundreds of envelopes on desk.
Yeah.
So because, you know, as you're going through it, you know, new things come up. And as you also know, we always change NDCs because of shortages. So by the time, you know, I fix something, there's another issue coming up. So I was very appreciative of Chalk having that as an electronic version.
It's pretty amazing. So everything gets sent to me, unfortunately. And then that's where you see like what's actually getting scanned is not necessarily just the NDC. You know, it's where, you know, they add all these extra digits.
Yeah. Or sometimes they scan the wrong thing because like the printed barcode is what, you know, from dispense from pharmacy, right? The dispense ID versus what's on the actual file.
Yeah.
So then there's that issue too. Or does this happen a lot at Chalk where it gets reprinted from pharmacy, but it uses a different like reprint versus the extra label function?
That might be the issue with the when it dispense labels is used, right? Because I see a lot of those unable to be scanned a lot, and it's always the ones where they have a reprinted history ID label.
Yeah, Yeah, so there's that. So this kind of veered into just us talking about the issues of day to day, but I guess that's fine for the podcast. But yeah, barcoding is just one of those. The other thing you do too, the other thing that kind of complicates a lot of things too, is the 340B program.
Right.
So you wanna first describe what that is, and then how that has implications on your role?
Yeah, so the 340B is also another program which got basically assigned to me. And if for those who don't know what it is, it's for it's a program that's mandated by the government, and for hospitals that have a certain percentage where they have low income patients, and if they qualify, you think 65% or 70% of your patients need to be Medi-Cal or Medicaid, but if you qualify, then the way it works is for all outpatient encounters for manufacturers that are participating in this 340B program, they are charging you a much, much lower rate for a lot of these very, very expensive meds than what you would generally pay for an inpatient encounter. So it has to be an outpatient encounter. The patient has to be part of your hospital, and the physician has to be part of the hospital also. So if this particular patient comes in and they are a 340B patient, then you might be able to give them, let me give you an example, Oncaspar, for instance, which is a very expensive med. I think the 340B price for a vial is 5 cents. So the hospital would only have to pay 5 cents for that vial.
Wait, Oncaspar, how much is it normally for AWP?
I'm pretty sure it's thousands for a vial, which is, I think our hospital cost is thousands, but the 340B price is 5 cents. So the savings on some of these medications, the 340B cost is very, very, very low. The kicker, though, is that in California, Medi-Cal knows about 340B, obviously, and we have to throw all our benefits that we get from the manufacturers, we have to give that to Medi-Cal. So all the savings that we achieve in the hospital, we're actually passing those on to the state. Thank you, California.
How's that coordinated?
It's super difficult, but basically in our system, you have to determine who your patients are. If they're a Medi-Cal patient, so we have a completely different program that identifies our Medi-Cal patients from our private insurers, from Cal Optima, which is Cal Optima is our managed care Medi-Cal, basically. So the fee-for-service Medi-Cal patients, we have to identify those separately, because any 340B drug savings that we are achieving with those patients, we pass those on to the state. And so we get audits from the state to make sure that we are passing those savings on, that we're not charging them more than the 340B price.
I wasn't aware of that part for the Medi-Cal. I mean, I know about the other 340B stuff because, again, like at my last place, I was handling that.
It's pretty strict too, because we get audited and they are very strict about that. And then we get audits from the manufacturers who want to make sure that when we are claiming an outpatient status, that is, it actually is an outpatient status. So we get manufacturer audits, and then we get state audits. So we're getting audited all over the place for 340B.
So in your specific roles and responsibilities, I guess there's two parts. First, implementation of the program, and then second is the maintenance. So when it was first implemented, right, with 340B, with our Cerner system, with our Splitter program, what was your role in that part?
It was mostly NDC related, and making sure that the drugs that were, it's very complicated, but I had to learn the 340B drugs that were being used as 340B, and then everything is priced by a HCPCS code. And now we're entering into like billing and everything like that, which can be very confusing. But it was basically, my role initially was just managing all the NDCs that were used in the 340B system. and making sure that they were inputted into a different database.
Mm-hmm. So then that kind of carries on to now, which is you're still maintaining that, right? You have some help with them.
The part I do is completely separate than the part she does.
So my role
is like when a medication is ordered, how many HCPCS units of that drug are used, and then what's the 340B price of that HCPCS unit. So that's my piece right there.
Okay. So you have a lot more of the billing side of things. Mm-hmm. Then.
Yeah.
So here's a question, which I kind of know the answer to, but for the listeners, did you learn this at all when you were in pharmacy school?
Absolutely not. You do not learn any of this in pharmacy school. So that's the most important thing that our listeners can probably, you know, take back, is that when you have a job, there are going to be so many opportunities to learn outside of what your role is. And you also learn that people in other departments don't want to do their job. So then you learn their jobs. And so then you just start, gathering all this experience in other areas. And it just makes you a better employee because now you know the process from end to end. And I think that's the most important take back that you can, you know, for any job that you have, is if you can learn that whole process from the beginning to the end, then you'll master it more than anyone else. And then you become indispensable to the company you're working for.
You know, it's funny you say that. It's like, you haven't said that to me directly or, you know, our team about that, but like, it actually resonates because like at the last place I was at, it was a county, right? So it's a county organization, really understaffed. I was the only informatics pharmacist. What ended up happening too was kind of like what you said, where the people in the other department may not know exactly like how things work. So for me, I actually ended up learning a lot of documentation pieces for the nursing side, the physician side, the even like lab accession stuff. So I ended up knowing more than I should, but then at the same time, it just makes me work better because I kind of understand how the other things all come together to like hit pharmacy, you know?
Yeah. So. I mean, there's pluses and minuses to it, right? Because then people in other departments now expect you to do their job because, you know, it's like,
yeah.
When, you know, pharmacy billing, how did I become the expert for pharmacy billing in the entire hospital?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, this is not something that you learned in pharmacy school. And somehow now I know about outpatient billing. I know about inpatient billing. And that is not something that you ever learn in any class.
Yeah, those things are very specific, right? To whatever organization you're at,
yes.
Whatever like your needs are. So of course, we're not going to learn those things. I think in pharmacy school, though, in general, there's not a lot of stuff about, I don't know about nowadays, but even when I was in school, I graduated 2012, and there wasn't much about like how things are billed or how insurances work that well. So those things were kind of like, well, we kind of need to make sure that these things work so that we are going to have money get paid by our employer, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so yeah, it's, yeah. But, you know, to the point of pharmacy schools, their goal is for us to pass the boards, and the boards don't ask those things,
mm-hmm.
right? So it makes sense, but just more of like, listeners, hey, these things you still need to know, even though they're not taught in school.
Exactly. I mean, we're informatics pharmacists, but you know, we still go through sometimes and we have to modify the orders, or we have to, you know, we're building a product and then you need to go do something to make sure that the order that you just built doesn't mess up existing orders. So you can't just mm-hmm. do that if you're not a pharmacist, right? Because you can't go modifying orders if you're not a pharmacist. So that's where our degree comes in.
Yeah. Or like sometimes I get requests and then I'm like, this doesn't sound clinically appropriate. So I'm sure you've gotten those too. So
oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like, why am I getting billed for, you know, 18 grams of dextrose? You know, that's yeah. obviously wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess like kind of like wrapping up here, do you have any like particular advice for people who are interested in pharmacy informatics, you know, given I know that your kind of path was a little bit different, but you know, like, do you have any kind of like just all-encompassing advice?
I think you just have to be open to learning everything, other people's roles, just learn processes. And then don't be one of those people that say, you know, that's not my responsibility. Because if you learn other people's jobs, it makes your job a lot easier.
I agree. Yeah, because I've already done that in the past. So if people wanted to, you know, ask any other questions about maybe your particular career path or just what your role is in your day to day, like how would they reach out to you?
You could email me at pwood@chalk.org. That's Phong Wood. So that's P as in Paul, W-O-O-D at chalk.org.
Awesome. All right. So thank you to be respectful of your time again. You know, just thank you so much for being on the podcast and also allowing me to learn more about like your history of you know, before coming to Chalk and everything. So thank you.
Well, thanks for having me, Tony. That was a fun time. Hopefully I brought some knowledge to your listeners out there.
All right. If you like our show, please share with your friends, or you can help us out by writing a review on Apple Podcasts or any of your other favorite podcasting services. You can also check us out on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn. And you can also reach out to me at tony@pharmacyitme.com. If you want to network, you can check out the Pharmacist Slack group at pharmacistconnect.com, which is pharmacistconnect.com. There's different topic channels, including informatics, and I've met some great colleagues on there. And I look forward to connecting with you as well. Thank you again for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode of Pharmacy IT and Me. And remember, technology is a tool, patient care is the goal.